This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Eric Strucco joins me on the program. He is a member of the Albemarle County School Board and a former member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. It's good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Coy?
Very good. So now the Albemarle County budget has been making news recently with Governor McDonnell. His budget, as much as $600 million in education cuts. Superintendents from our area went to Richmond recently to get some press to advocate for schools and for not cutting money that goes to schools. What's the very latest?
I'm not sure what the very latest is. I just know that Albemarle County schools, like I think many other schools in the state, are facing the reality that they're going to have to adjust their budgets for fewer funds coming from Richmond than they originally thought.
Yeah. And how is it working? Explain this idea. We were talking before we went on the air about Richmond takes into account a locality's ability to pay for their own schools, and it determines how much Richmond would chip in for the schools in that area.
Right. So the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state government, allocates education funding to different localities based upon a calculation called the composite index. And that index is a way of determining, according to Richmond's rules, a locality's ability to pay for education. And so the perceived wealthier counties in the state will get a lower allocation than, say, those counties that through this composite index demonstrate a lower ability to pay for education. It's a way of creating equity, a foundation of public education in the state. And so part of the composite index formula looks at property values and the ability of localities to raise revenues from taxes based on property values, so real estate taxes. And the localities that really got hit hard by this past recession will tend to benefit from a calculation of the composite index with new data. So Northern Virginia, for instance, really got hit hard. Their property values dropped substantially during the latest economic downturn. And their property values tended to drop more deeply than Albemarle County's property values. So our composite index change, while it's significant for us locally, it was not as dramatic as, say, Northern Virginia. And so what the governor proposed last year to help ease the blow was some hold harmless funding, and that was to not put in place this recalculation. And that promise was also extended to this fiscal year. It was a two-year arrangement. But going into the budget process down in Richmond, there was rumblings, and it looks like it's going to happen, that hold harmless funding will go away. And so those of us, localities, including Albemarle, that were budgeting, assuming that the hold harmless would be in place, now have to face the reality that it won't be, and we may have to make further spending reductions in our budget, or Albemarle County will have to consider raising tax revenue locally to cover the difference.
We're talking with Eric Strucco of the Albemarle County School Boards. The phone lines are open. 977-1070 is the phone number. So it looks like they're going to take the composite index into account. Places like Northern Virginia that saw their property values plummet will get a little bit more money as a result.
Right.
And places like Albemarle, where the property values went down but didn't plummet, and where it's no secret that Richmond looks at Albemarle County and says, you're clearly undertaxing your citizens, and you can afford to pay a lot more for your schools, and you're refusing to do it, so we're going to send you less money because you should be raising more of this money yourself.
Oh, you speak so definitively with absolutes. I'm not sure exactly how Richmond views it. I just think that a more benign way of saying it would be that Richmond views Albemarle County as having the ability, if they wish, if the community and the citizens wish, to adjust their tax rates so they could generate more revenue for the schools. And that, again, that's because the composite index shifted. And Richmond will say that the areas that got hit the hardest by the economic downturn are the ones that deserve a greater portion of the allocation than those areas that didn't.
Now, I've said this before. I think the elephant in the room and your background with the Planning Commission, you're very familiar with this, is the land use tax credit, which basically those of us who don't own rural property, we subsidize the folks who do with the hope that they won't sell their property to developers. And I think this is something that Richmond takes into account when they look at Albemarle County, that you have an enormous land use tax program, and that's one way that you undertax the value of what you really have in your county.
Well, the composite index views land as land as land. And they say that, you know, we're looking at the land, we're looking at the assessed values, it has a certain value. Now, the community, so if you choose to just tax all property based upon the prevailing rate, you know, that's your ability to raise money. Now, Albemarle decided that, no, we were going to also adopt this other state advocated plan called land use. And it is to preserve the rural quality of not just Albemarle County, but Virginia, any locality that adopts this approach. And it gives large landowners a tax break if they don't put their land in development. And the value that, you know, I don't have land and land use, you're saying you don't. The value that we theoretically get is we get to continue to live and experience and benefit from a rural Albemarle County instead of seeing subdivisions popping up in where farms, cornfields, forested areas used to be.
Yeah. And so which is what I grew up seeing in Fairfax County.
I grew up in New Jersey seeing the same thing.
You saw the same thing. I mean, I can remember seventh grade riding the bus past cows all the way to my high school. And you go up there now, just a few decades later, there's no cows to be seen anywhere.
Yeah, and Corey, it's no secret that anybody that knows me, you know, in my time on the Planning Commission, I truly valued protecting Albemarle County's rural lands and rural.
And the land use tax credit is just one of the tools that we use to do that.
Correct. And again, if it's used as intended, I think it can really be a benefit. But when there are large landowners that put their land in land use, they get that tax break, and then they just buy time until they turn around and sell it to a developer who intends to rezone it, or just by using the buy right development rights.
Yeah, they don't need to. They can just do exactly what they're entitled to already.
And I know the program goes back a number of years. If a property owner were to do that, had their land in land use and then sell it with the intent to develop, then they do have to make up for back taxes going back a number of years. But certainly, you know,
you can afford to do that if you're selling. It's pretty amazing. And some of these properties, that they've come in, tens of millions of dollars that these large landowners get. And to me, that's the crack in the whole plan, is that there's no, if you're going to take advantage of it, it doesn't lock you in. There's no real commitment. You can basically cook your land in this oven called land use tax credit and cook your land until it's ready for development, and then you could just pull it right out.
And that's certainly a possible outcome. Land use is not a permanent conservation easement.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I would advocate for those as well. It's what land use is, what permanent conservation easements are, too, our ability for those families that have lived in Albemarle County for generations. They have land as their primary asset. And, if they're moving toward retirement and they want to have cash, they're looking for resources or funds, or they simply want to leave an inheritance for their children in the form of cash, you sell your land. And the land use program and the conservation easements are a way for these landowners to generate some cash in the form of tax savings.
Without turning it into a neighborhood.
Without developing it, right. And that was the intent of the program. But, yes, we all hear anecdotally, I hear, there are people out there that are limited liability corporations or some entity that has land and land use.
Clearly, biding their time till the market is ready to develop it.
Always with always the intent to develop. And that really, I think, is it buys you time. So the land doesn't get development for an X period of time. But I'm not sure that the land use taxation is the incentive for a developer or an LLC that owns the property to keep it rural. I just think they're waiting for the opportune time to sell it.
Yeah. We're talking with Eric Strucco. And of course, the whole reason we're talking about this is because this is something that legislators in Richmond take into account when they look at the government of Albemarle County's ability to fund their own schools. And they say, you're leaving money on the table, basically.
Yes.
You could be funding your schools a lot more than you do.
Yeah, we choose locally the tax structure, the programs that we put in place. We balance our competing values. We want strong public schools that reach the highest levels of educational quality, that produce very good citizens, eventually excellent college students, if that's the route you're going after graduation. We value that here in Albemarle. But we also value our rural character, the way of life that we have here. So we attempt to balance it with programs. And so we'll adopt a tax rate that provides funding for the schools, but we'll also have these other programs that protect Albemarle County's rural area. And then the debate ensues. Is the tax rate high enough? Could we go higher? What does one additional penny in the tax rate generate in terms of funding for the schools? It'll bring an extra $1 million into the county. But the county splits those monies, 60% schools, 40% general government. And so it'll be bringing $600,000 for the schools. For a $144 million per school system, $600,000 is certainly a significant sum. But is it enough to make a large enough programmatic change that actually has an immediate impact on quality?
It's 419. We're talking with Eric Strucco of the Albemarle County School Board and a former member of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. At the end of the day, we could be looking at, what is it, $4 million that could be a deficit in the school budget?
So I'm a little embarrassed to say I haven't kept track of the numbers as precisely as I should, but that's the number that sticks in my head, that we could be looking at a potential $4 million drop in revenues that we expected to come.
Which means what in the classroom? What does that mean when we talk about the school board sitting down and figuring out how to take out $4 million?
$4 million is a significant sum. It's hard to sit here and say that we can realize that savings in other places than the classroom completely. I suspect that it will have some classroom impact, but that's simply a function of where the school board and the superintendent decides to recognize those cuts. Like I said, that to me that dollar amount gets us to the classroom in some form or fashion.
Yeah. So remind us again of the process and where we are in the process.
So I'm not entirely sure. There's a school board meeting tonight. We welcome our newest member. Jason Biocchi was appointed by the school board a few weeks ago to fill the remaining term of Ronnie Price's seat in the Rivanna Magisterial District here in Albemarle. So this will be his first meeting. So we meet tonight. I'm sure this will be a topic of conversation there, but I do believe that we simply have to wait for the legislative process in Richmond to finish before we know for sure exactly what adjustments we have to make to our revenue assumptions. And then the Board of Supervisors really needs to take up the topic.
That's when those fun public hearings begin.
Oh, yes.
I'm reminded, was it last year when we had those public hearings where, the Albemarle County office building fills up with people, parents and caregivers and students and teachers who are like, please, please put more money into the schools.
Right.
You can do it. The money is here in the county. Please invest more in the schools. And they said no.
Yeah, well, the largest crowd in the county office building that I can remember my 15 years here, certainly it was spilling over into the lobby and down the front steps. But I think the predominant view of the people that came to those hearings were we're willing to shoulder an increased tax burden if it means continuing the schools as they are. You know, just keep this quality of the schools in place as we work our way through this recession. Ultimately, the Board of Supervisors, majority of the board, decided not to do that. The funds from Richmond last year, the cuts weren't as dramatic as we thought, and we were able to get through this past year, plus with some, I would say, controversial changes on scheduling and all. But we made it through, and I'm not sure what the public sentiment is this year going into the budget, Corey. At our public hearing on the budget, it lasted, I think, all of 30 minutes. I'm not sure how many people spoke, but you can count them pretty easily. I showed up 15 minutes late. It was at a different location. It was held at Monticello High School, so I didn't adjust my driving. But I got there 15 minutes late and thinking they're just settling in now.
Yeah, it'll be hours. A public hearing
I sat down, a few people spoke, and then the meeting was adjourned. And I looked at Barbara Mooley, who was sitting next to me, and I asked her, I said, "Is that it?" And she said, "Yes." And so I was truly disappointed. I really was. I wasn't I wasn't expecting just a 30-minute public hearing and just a
I would think that we would see more people coming out to talk about the schedule change.
Well, my personal opinion on that is I think folks just needed to regroup. They were very engaged, very active, fighting the fight, making the arguments, trying to engage the school board in the debate. When a majority of the board made their decision, I think there was a measure of discouragement, but maybe it's also a measure of regrouping. They felt like there was nothing to argue. The board made its decision and the folks had stayed home. I'm hoping that discouragement is short-lived, and I truly hope that it is. There are a number of parents out there and teachers that continue to hone their arguments. I think their arguments hold a lot of weight. I think they're right on this issue, and I'm hoping that they can find a way to make an impression on my colleagues on the board the way they made one with me. And we'll see. But going into this school year, the plan is, as of now, that we will have an 8-period day and that teachers will be teaching 6 classes out of 8 instead of the 5 that I advocated. I'm truly concerned that our teachers are bearing an inordinate workload.
Well, as you told us, we've got teachers now in the county that have as many as 150, 160 students.
Yeah, in total for a year. So to put that in
context. Try to grade those papers tonight.
Oh, it's hard. There are still high school classes that are over 30 students, and I think that really does immediately impact the scope and breadth of the material that teachers can cover for that many students in a confined period of time. So an English teacher, instead of teaching 6 novels, will teach maybe 3 or 4, and maybe not go to the depth that they did when they had more time and fewer students. And so the paper grading will be more superficial instead of more substance. And I just can't see the good in that. But our teachers do show an ability to be adaptive. I've learned that there is some innovation out there, and I'm hoping that they can make the best of this situation. And who knows, perhaps some technique will come out of this that truly is beneficial and protects the quality. But I strain right now to see it.
Well, and the parents and the students and the teachers certainly know they have an advocate in you. Eric Strucco, a member of the Albemarle County School Board, thank you for being here. We appreciate the update.
Always a pleasure, Coy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.